tonight I'm preaching on distraction. And if the devil can't get us with discouragement, if the devil can't get us by disturbing us with a root of bitterness, if the devil can't get us by defiling us, do you know what he'll use and it works every time? Distraction.
You're listening to Pressing On with Pastor Doug Raines. Pressing On is a ministry of Progress Baptist Church located in Hendersonville, North Carolina. For more information about Progress Baptist Church, visit us online at progressbaptist.com. And now let's join the service at Progress Baptist Church.
If we are not careful, we will count the blood as an unholy thing. You say, Brother Raines, I would never dishonor the blood of Jesus. If it's not a big deal to you, you've just dishonored it. If we're not honoring Christ and the cross, if someone's singing or testifying or worshiping God or preaching about the cross and the blood, and your mind is 1,000 miles away, you're treating it as an unholy thing. Saying, Brother Raines, I got ADD. I win the prize on ADD. We all struggle with attention. And if you weren't born with it in this generation, you developed it. Good, not alive. I mean, we're just bombarded with junk all the time. It's just coming at us. I watch people walking in the door checking things and scrolling and texting. And I'm like, turn it off for 2 hours. I said, I'm serious. Focus on Jesus. Don't treat His blood. I see people after church scrolling and checking their social media. I'm like, come on, can we meditate on Him for a little longer? Can we just focus on Him for a little while? There ain't nothing on there that we need to catch up on. Y'all know I'm right. Counting His blood as an old holy thing. Look in verse 29, the middle of it. Hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith He was sanctified an unholy thing. Look, and done despite unto the Spirit of grace. His God, you don't have to answer me. Everybody in here, as far as I know, except for just a few, would say, God has spoken to me. Now, He doesn't speak apart from His Word, but the Holy Spirit will impress on a believer's heart. You need to testify. Several this morning said, I should have testified an hour ago. We gave him a tardy slip, but we let him go. That was God. That was the God who created the earth out of nothing, who took time to let His sweet Holy Ghost trouble your heart and say, I wish you'd stand up and thank God you have a happy day. The God of heaven took time to talk to you. And if we just blow that off, that's a word we all understand. If we just blow that off, we're doing despite unto the Spirit of grace. So I want to ask you quickly, counting. He said they count the blood as an unholy thing. How do you count what you have in Christ? Do you cherish it? Does it ever bring a tear to your eye? There's nobody here but us. I thought this afternoon of sweet service, great liberty to preach, good testimonies, good response to the singing and the preaching. But I left this afternoon and I thought, Lord, boy, it's been a while. So-and-so used to cry and testify. Do they still love You? So-and-so used to be a lot more involved in the service than they are today. Lord, would You give me something to help them? Do you count the things of God? Do you cherish them the way you did 6 months ago? Do you cherish them the way you did 6 years ago? If you don't work on every relationship that's in this room, parent, spouse, older parents, extended family, church family, and the most important relationship every one of us have, our relationship with the Holy God. If you don't work on it, you'll be in Proverbs chapter 4, overgrown with thorns and nettles. The best gardener you'll ever find anywhere, if he's not out there weeding, it's going to be overrun. Less than a week, you won't even know that he was trying to grow anything. Are y'all with me? How do you count what you have in Christ? Go to Genesis 28. I don't think I gave you this word. I think it's a good word. I think it'll help us. The first word that I used last Sunday morning was discouragement. Failing of the grace of God. The grace of God was fine. It was me that failed. Discouragement. Number two, disturbed, and I used the word troubled by the root of bitterness, and I preached on bitterness. Last Sunday night, I preached on defilement. Tonight, I'm preaching on distraction. And if the devil can't get us with discouragement, if the devil can't get us by disturbing us with the root of bitterness, if the devil can't get us by defiling us, do you know what he'll use and it works every time? Distraction. You ever almost hit anybody because of distracted driving? Sure we have. My family says I'm the worst at it. I don't know why they say that, but they do. Look at Genesis 28, verse 16. Let me put this verse into context, church. This is Jacob, Esau's brother. He has left home at the request of his mom and dad, who said, I want you to get a godly wife. I don't want you to get an idol-worshipping woman from our community who doesn't know Jehovah. I want you to go back where we came from and get someone who's been trained the way you have been. And so he obeys them and he's headed there. He stops overnight and lays down and has a dream. Look in verse number 16. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. Look at the sad verse, and I knew it not. Verse 17, and he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. I don't find a whole lot of fault with him for saying God is here and I knew it not, because what he's saying is I didn't recognize it immediately, but I do now. Let me tell you what troubles me is to be in a place where God is moving, or where God is likely to move, where God has moved, where God has the welcome mat out in order to move, and you see Him moving, and those who claim to know His name, those who claim to walk in the Spirit, those claim to love His Word, apparently, seemingly unmoved and untouched by God being in the house. That scares me. It scares me. Doesn't mean that any time God moves in a way that He chooses to do so, that every one of us have to respond in the very same way. But Miss Danielle was telling us about a get together with 16 or 18 family members, and I would say that each of those family members responded a little bit differently to the guests of honor. But I think all of them responded, and here's why. I've already told you three times. They were family. And it scares me, Brother John. It breaks my heart when God moves in His house using His Word and His Holy Spirit, and those of us who claim to be family do not respond to Him in some way. All of those responses are different. The first thing was counting. The second thing I want you to see is contrast. Esau was profane. Nothing moved him. It didn't touch him. His life was consumed with carnality and temporal things that would pass away. Jacob, on the other hand, is sleeping with his head on rocks. And he wakes up and he goes, God's around here. Surely this is the house of God. There was nothing magnificent. There was no animal sacrifice. There was no hallelujah chorus. We saw the angels ascending and descending. We don't know everything that went on that night. But I do know that Jacob valued the presence of God. And Esau, it was a profane thing to him. Now look with me in verse number 25. I want to ask you again what I said at the beginning. How special is it to you to be a child of God? And let's be real for a minute. I want to say this and you understand what I'm saying. There are times when the inner workings of a body, there are issues that have to be resolved. There may be somebody sitting here going, Brother Ains, you've misread me. I love the presence of God. I pray for the presence of God. I long for the presence of God. I long more than anything to worship Him. And preacher, my problem is you. You on my nerves. You just grate on me. Is that y'all right? You understand what I'm saying? If you came to me and said that, preacher, I'm not backslid. My prayer life is the best it's ever been. When I walk in that door and I see you, I break out in hives. Do you know what I would say to that person, Brother John? I am so sorry. Ask God where He wants you to go, and then the preacher don't break you out in hives. This life is too short for you not to enjoy church. And that doesn't mean every service is the same. Y'all know me better than that. I don't care what the flavor is as long as God's in the house. Weeping in the altar, fine with me. Taking laps, fine with me. I told y'all the other Wednesday I hope we'd do the glory train, all of us, in one big glory train going around the church. Y'all ain't done it yet, but I'm hoping it'll happen because I'm going to lead the parade, Brother Youngblood, and I want you in on it. Sister Beulah with the hanky. Let me tell you something. Whatever God wants, my point is, don't let anybody keep you from Jesus. I think about that woman who pressed through the crowd. I think about that woman who pressed through the crowd. Don't let the devil run you all over Hendersonville because of pettiness. Say amen. Because there's pettiness down the road, there's pettiness up the road, there's pettiness this way, there's pettiness that way. If God moves you, you better know it's God. Better know it's God, okay? Everybody in here has talked to me about that. I've talked to you about that. God moved me from where I was, okay? So it's a matter of knowing and hearing the voice of God. Look at this one. This will help you. I promise you it will. Look at 25:23. Number one, counting. What do you count this as? How big of a deal is this to you? Let me make it real. Was there anticipation in your heart before you came to church tonight? And there was for me. Tired? Yes. Please don't get upset at me. Sitting on my couch this afternoon, I thought, if there was ever a time to have a modern church that only had church on Sunday morning, this would be the day. Is that too transparent? I was laid up with my foot. It looked like, who's that cartoon character that tied that big old white bow around his toe? He had gout. I'm convinced of it now. I was laid up. It looked like it was horrible looking. But I sat there and I thought, man, oh man, if there was ever a Sunday afternoon to just kick back and listen to the river, today would be the day. But I wasn't about to do that. And by the time I got my shower and washed this morning, sweat off, and put my smell good stuff on, boy, there was something stirring in my heart. Said, I can't wait to get back to church. Tired? Just a little bit. Distracted? A whole lot. But let me tell you something. Here's what I said. For an hour and a half, thereabouts, could be more, could be less, I'm just going to focus on Jesus and Miss Amy. It's going to get me started off on the week, just like I need it. Say amen. So my testimony is I'm glad I'm here. And I'm glad we're not modern and canceling Sunday night. Say amen. My mama used to say, she said, I can sleep better on Sunday morning than any day of the week. Y'all didn't get that. She said, every morning I'm up at 6. She said, Sunday morning I could sleep till 8:30 or 9. Okay? That's the flesh, by the way. I don't know how my flesh knows what day it is. And I don't know how the devil knows how to mess with me on Sunday and not on Saturday. But he does. And I ain't bragging on the devil, but he ain't stupid either. I'm going to ask you one more time. This is the last one. How do you count this? How big of a deal is this? Can I tell you something and I'm through on this point? I think. I could ask your children and they know. It's like that preacher went to visit the family and the mother said, son, go get mama's favorite book so the preacher can read to us. And he went and got Sears and Roebuck catalog. Everybody with me. Genesis 28, the contrast. Esau didn't cherish anything. Listen to me. How many of you had a problem when I was bragging on Jacob over here? Where's Jacob? You know what your name means, right? Okay, you're well aware. Okay, it means you got issues. It's still a good name. And I'm glad they named you that. Because we've all got issues. And Jacob went on to be something great. You follow me? Somebody probably went, preacher, are you real? I mean, Esau, yeah, he was a mess, but Jacob? Man, he struggled for the next 20 years. He was a late bloomer in the problem area. His problems came later. I guarantee you there's people in here that are serious enough Bible students. They're going, are you really going to make Jacob the poster child for heart for God? Yes, I did. Glory, glory, glory. Perfection is not one of the requirements for having a heart for God. I'm about to run. If I was Sammy Allen, I'd tell you to run for me. I cannot run tonight. But somebody, Josh, me messing up does not mean that I don't have a heart for God. And anybody who whispers in my ear that it is related to the devil. Because the devil is the accuser of the brethren. Anybody says, you got a lot of business testifying. I saw you on Thursday. You're acting like your father, the devil. Read your Bible. What's the requirement for praising God? Breath. Y'all know me. Am I advocating living like the devil and coming in here and acting like a something? Is that what I'm advocating? No. But I am also telling you, Stephen, you do not have to attain perfection for the next 7 days to come in here Sunday and worship Jesus. You worship Him. You feel His presence, Miss Elaine. You know what will happen when you leave here? I want to live a little cleaner. I've been with God. And I want this world to see God in me. It don't make you want to come in here and act like a spiritual hootenanny and then go out there and act like the world. If that's how you live, you're lost. I don't say that. I don't say that once every 3 years. If that's how you think and how you act, you're as lost as a ball in high weeds. Brother Landreth, I need to get born again. Every time I'm in His presence, He shows me something about myself. I don't care if it's a child standing up with a quivering lip. I'm going to thank the Lord for my mom and daddy, and they sit down. But just being around somebody that's thankful makes me think more about my God. Look at Genesis 25, and I'll be through. Let's start in 22. Rebekah could not conceive. Begged God, and He let her conceive. 22. Are you there? Say amen. Oh, I love God's Word. Oh, I love His Word. Thank you, Lord, for Your Word. Thank you for people to preach it to. Thank you that we're not having to listen to somebody and hope they're telling us what's true. We've all got a copy of God's Word in our lap. A preacher came to Tabernacle Bible College about 30 years ago. And he said he was at home. Reading his Bible. He had lived a wicked life. He got saved. Said his little boy walked in the living room and crawled up in his lap and said, Daddy, I don't know what that book says, but you sure have been different ever since you started reading it. You're a different man since you started reading that book. Breck, you reckon Desiree and Lindsay saw anything different when Daddy started reading this book? Are you glad you're saved? Say amen. What a God. And the children struggled together within her. She said, if it be so, why am I thus? You ladies that have carried children, that's an experience, isn't it? Can you imagine two? How many of you are glad you never toted two? We got twins. Anybody? No. That was something, wasn't it? Those two. I know that. Lord, have mercy. Why am I thus? It was Elaine. Why am I thus? You can get by with a whole lot of complaining if you'll use King James English. That was a joke. And she went to inquire of the Lord. You also need to take it to Jesus. 23, the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. One will be stronger than the other people. Elders shall serve the younger. Number one, counting. How do you count all this? How important is it to you? Somebody getting your parking space won't ruffle your feathers if you're more focused on what happens when you get in here. Every little thing going just to suit you. When you're focused on Jesus, you won't even notice when it doesn't. I need a witness. Chris will say, honey, I hate to tell you this. Did you notice that there's a leak? I said, no, I want the house of God immaculate. I want it operating smoothly. But let me tell you something. A couple hours Sunday morning, Ashley, a couple hours Sunday night, a couple hours on Wednesday, and any special opportunity we get, Breck, I just want to focus on Him. After that, we'll work on the roof, we'll work on the plumbing, we'll work on the septic, we'll work on all that. I can't help much, but I'll stand around and say, how's it going? Did you find it yet? Did you find it yet? Look at the verses. Number three, conniving was not needed. Who said before they were ever born, John, the elder was going to serve the younger? Jehovah God. It was done. When God says it, Brother Mara, it's done. He don't need my help. You know what He really needs me to do? He wants me to stay out of the way and quit gomming things up. Quit trying to help Him. How foolish are we, Preacher Raines, to try to help Him? I told y'all 7 years ago, probably this month, I don't know for sure, but I'd been here several months, and I was driving to church, and God got in the car with me. I love it when He does that. And He said, I'm going to do a great work in that place. He didn't tell me how many people that meant. He just told me He was going to work. He said, but I need you to stay out of the way, and I need you to give me all the glory. So if I get on rants and hobby horses about us giving God all the glory and warning you about preachers who share some of His glory, that's why I am consumed, obsessed, compulsive about all the glory going to Him. And conniving is a distraction. I know what she needs. I know what he needs.
I really know what they need. Yeah, they need some marriage counseling right over there. They ain't been married but 70 years. I'm gonna talk to them. Lord, I've got the gift of discernment.
No, you ain't. Be quiet. I'm serious. We get in His way. We're a cog in the wheels. He don't need us conniving and all that. Joseph took his two boys, Ephraim and Manasseh, to his daddy Jacob, and he wanted him to bless them. Who's the oldest? Manasseh? We say Ephraim and Manasseh, but isn't Manasseh the oldest? Manasseh, Ephraim. Did I do this right? Here's what Jacob did. Blind as a bat. Am I right? He said, Lord, I want to put a blessing on these boys. And Joseph, you be Joseph, frown at me. Joseph didn't like it. He tried to move his hands, Eric. And Jacob said, I know what I'm doing, boy. He said, this one's going to be... I think I got him wrong. Y'all get the point. He said, the elder's going to be great, but the younger's going to be greater. And that's all God needed. If Rebecca hadn't come up with her little scheme, ladies, I love you, but you're prone to scheme. And need some help. Ladies, I love you, but you're prone to scheme. I got one cackle and three giggles. God didn't need Rebecca conniving.
I'm going to help God out.
God don't need your help. Let God work it all out. Profane means common or ordinary. Please don't treat what you have in Jesus as common or ordinary. If you don't value it like you once did, if you don't value that word like you once did, if you don't value the church like you once did, if you don't value the presence of God like you once did, if you don't value sinners getting saved like you once did, if you don't value anything we have as a believer like you once did, bow your head. use your pew, use your altar. Go home into the private place and talk to Jesus and say, Lord, don't let me count blood and Holy Spirit as a meaningless, insignificant thing.
For more information about Progress Baptist Church and to hear this and other sermons, visit us online at progressbaptist.com. If you'd like to contact us, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is pressingonradio@gmail.com. That's pressingonradio@gmail.com. Thanks again for joining us for Pressing On with Pastor Doug Raines. Be sure to tune in this time next week for another challenging message from God's Word.